It's a joy to gather again for this sacred purpose of realizing the absolute self that we are and transcending the illusion of suffering, of mortality, and all the illusions of the ego mind based on its beliefs in the reality of the world. And in the realization that is the overcoming of those illusions, we naturally and immediately return to the inner peace that has always been present as the core of our being, but that was obscured by mental chatter and so became as if unattainable, when all along we were nothing ever but that supreme reality. And to overcome that self-imposed ignorance that obscures our divine nature, nothing is required but letting go of the ego narrative, which takes no time at all. You know, all the sages of all the traditions that I've ever studied sustain the truth that truth is immediately and instantaneously gained. But what holds back the realization of that truth by the ego mind is that it cannot bear the truth. It's that unbearability of the absolute truth. And once that is overcome, realization is not only immediate, but eternally present and never had been lost at all, because that was only illusory. But can you bear the truth of who and what you are? It's unbearable because it's too intense. It's unbearable because too much repressed and foreclosed information that the censoring aspect of the ego could not tolerate comes up. And it's unbearable because the blissful light of the real dissolves the ego instantaneously. So this is our paradoxical situation of being in total freedom and yet not quite wanting it, seeking what we are but not realizing there's nothing to seek. So, with that, I want to welcome our new retreatants who have recently arrived, whom I may have suddenly made sorry that they have arrived. But nonetheless, you have arrived. And what arises in a space like this is incomprehensible to the ego, and yet makes total sense at a deeper level to the soul. And so there's a kind of a cognitive superposition of states of consciousness that are both emergent but are completely incompatible. And yet that incompatibility is also an illusion. And so it's this overcoming of the very logic of duality that underlies the illusion of separation of ego from soul, or soul from absolute self, or any other differentiation that is linguistically based and conceptual rather than real. All of that falls away in the realization of what is immediate. So the difficulty is to be willing to abide in immediacy, because the ego prefers to mediate its own experience with language, to keep an ongoing narrative of how it experiences what it thinks it is experiencing, which is already a separation from the reality of the experience, because the experience itself is actually a projection of an imperience. David Bohm, the great physicist, you know, declared that the explicate order that seems to unfold in linear time and three-dimensional space is actually simply the projection of an implicate order, an intelligence that is transcendent of time and space. But because it's a projection of that which is transcendent, that must be where you are and who you are, the implicate, not the explicate, which can only be a simulation, a kind of a dream field. But the dreaming intelligence is no longer reachable by the one being dreamed, until there is awakening. So, who are the retreatants who have just arrived? There's one, who else? Two, three, and four. Okay, can you bring a chair up? I want to talk to each one of you. No, right here. Okay. How can I talk to somebody on the side?
Fair enough.
Who'd like to go first? The woman should go first. Ladies always first. It'll make you sorry you're a woman, aren't you? Never be sorry you're a woman. Because you're a manifestation of the goddess. Do you know that? What would you like to be called?
What would I like to be called?
Mm-hmm. What are you usually called?
Carrie.
Carrie. Do you like that name? What does it carry with it?
Plenty.
Plenty?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get rid of some of the things you're carrying?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is that what brings you here? What do you want to get rid of, and what do you want to attain?
I would like to attain freedom.
Mm-hmm. Freedom from what? What bondage are you in?
The parts that I was cast in, I guess.
The
parts that I was
the
cast.
Part that you were cast in, or parts, you said, plural.
Yeah, plural.
So in other words, there are certain ego fragments that each have their designated identities that autonomously act, and you can't stop them. And they impersonate you.
Yes.
And those parts that don't really represent you, but somehow impersonate and have usurped your real identity, are the ones living through your bodily existence and keeping you from being fully, authentically alive in your real self.
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Now, who is keeping you in bondage to those parts?
Me, I think.
Yeah, of course. Who else could be doing it? Because those parts are in your mind,
mm-hmm.
yes? You could delete them from your mind.
Yes.
What stops you from deleting them?
A sense of responsibility.
To who?
Everyone I love.
But the ones you say you love are the ones who assigned you those parts, correct?
I accepted them, I think.
You accepted them, but do you have to be loyal now to playing those parts because those parts love those people and their attachment to them holds you in check and unable to live a fulfilling life? Well, is that really love if they have done that to you? And to be loyal to that limitation of your being, is that really love of them? Because aren't you cheating them of the fullness of your joy and your power? Yes?
Yes.
So it's not love. It has pretended to be love, but it's a false kind of love, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, why don't you free yourself to live in divine love that's real?
Mm.
But you have to love yourself to do that.
Yes.
And the parts can't do that. So they have to be deleted because the real self is love. It doesn't have to love anyone. It just, it's its nature, right? The vibrational frequency of your being when you're free of those parts is joy and love.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
You can feel it now, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you can feel it now, it means you're already free.
Yes, true. It's only the ideas, I guess, yeah, that are...
Yeah.
Baggage.
Why keep those if they're false and they create suffering?
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unethical to do that to yourself. Right?
Agreed.
Because you are keeping your divine nature from being a gift to the world. Right? And that's what you're here to be, as a blessing to all beings. Yes?
True.
And that is your true nature, to be such a blessing. So you can choose that immediately. If you can bear to be the one who is a divine blessing to the world and feel the intensity of the flow of that joyous energy through you, can you handle that?
Yes.
Can you feel the flow of that energy?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so there would be no reason to ever cut it off, would there?
No.
All right. So now you're uncarry, because you're not carrying anything, right?
Okay.
You're free from all carry trade, as they call it in the finance world. There's nothing to carry and nothing even to let go of. Your real self is completely free and perfect, perfect, as you are now. Nothing to improve, nothing to do. Just be, effortlessly.
Okay.
You willing to do that? Yeah, then you're liberated. Why are you still here?
Yes.
You're not here.
Uh-oh.
Your character is here. You are everywhere and nowhere. But you are the one dreaming the dream. And therefore the dream is whatever you dream from that place of the absolute intelligence that is the dreamer. Okay, so live in freedom, and by just seeing that all of this is an emanation of that same consciousness that is God, that is yourself, all will be perceived in its perfection as well. And it will become a joy and a comedy in which you can laugh at everything you once thought was tragic or foolish or sad or whatever. No longer has that labeling or that significance, right? Because
yes.
It's all the will of God, yes? And that is the will that moves you through life, yes?
Yes.
Okay. It's a joy to see a free being who is God realized, and that you've achieved it instantaneously. You see, you're the proof that this path is real, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so now you have to be the living proof without any effort made, because it is what you are, not what you need to be or to prove to another. There is no other. It's a joy to welcome you to the ashram.
It's a joy to be here.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Who would like to go next? Conscience doth make cowards of us all. Ah, here's a brave soul. And what would you like to be called?
I'm trying to find that out.
What have you been called?
Jan.
Jan. What does that mean to you? Hither and yon?
It means to be too quiet.
To be too quiet. Mm-hmm. Ah. But does that mean internally quiet or externally quiet?
Internally.
You're too quiet internally? Or just you have to inhibit your speech?
I'm not letting myself out.
That's right. Okay. But is it speech that you're not letting out, or is it love that you're not letting out?
Both, but primarily love.
Love, right. But isn't love most well cultivated in silence and presence? Mm-hmm. Right? Because that silence, when the mind is not chattering, does not project that there are others who you have to love, who your ego may not love and may reject, right? And may feel will reject you if you speak your truth, right? Sure. So that's the paradoxical prison that the ego is in, right? But if you enter into the core of your heart, you're in non-duality, and love is your nature. And that stillness ends all of the traces of the past identity that inhibited your heart from expressing itself. But before, you had to inhibit it because it wasn't your heart, it was your ego's anger that you had to stop from causing trouble, right? But if you can accept responsibility that this is a dream, and there is no one to be angry at, because in a dream you are every character, correct? Then those characters who made you angry were only here to test you, right?
The character helps me to see that.
Yeah. And to go within to the silence to find your real self that others can never disturb or inhibit.
Well, my first name is Jan. My last name starts with anger.
Yes?
So, yeah, Angelmeyer. Yeah.
Okay, so you have been living your name.
I've been seeing a little bit, yes.
Yeah, so maybe it's time to change your name.
Maybe, yes.
We'll consider that if your heart calls for that, mm-hmm. because names are the worst obstacles to liberation, right? Mm-hmm. And your inherent being is nameless. You weren't born with a name. Somebody planted that on you because of their fantasy of who you should be, right? And so you lost your authenticity by accepting their fantasies and projections and their desire for you to not talk, right? So now you're free of the desire of the other or fear of the other or need to be angry at the other. Because they're only dream figures, they're not real, right? Okay, how does it feel to be free and uninhibited?
Releasing, it is...
Can you tolerate releasing all those inhibitions?
I've had some experience and...
But have it now. The past isn't real. It's now or never. All you're releasing are a set of rules by which you've been playing the game of life. And those rules have crippled your ability to play the game and win. And it's caused frustration. So throw out the rule book. You can't be controlled by other people's rules.
In that experience, it's a new life. There's no...
Yeah, of course. It's a new life that is eternal life, right? It's not just the life of a bodily being. It's the life of your real self that now can enter fully into the illusion, but without being caught by it, and bring your own light and joy and your creative genius that is inherent to your being into your life. You willing to tolerate that state of intensity?
I am. The troubling parts of our sustaining it.
Mm-mm. That's a thought. Get rid of that thought, you see. That's one of the rules. I'm not allowed to sustain it. Throw it out. It's not true. Throw out all limiting beliefs. You're inherently free, cannot be captured by any rules. Unless you agree to enslavement. Don't agree to that anymore.
Because I make the rules.
Hmm?
I make the rules.
There are no need for rules. Why not be free? Creativity doesn't want rules. That's for bureaucrats. Well, all right then. Enjoy your freedom. And that freedom will then affect everyone because they will want the same freedom that you are enjoying and emanating. Welcome. Namaste. Next victim. Ah, I know this victim. This is a hero, not a victim. Wonderful to see you again after a long time.
Yes, yeah? Wonderful to see you too.
What is it you're here to let go of?
My ego. Mm-hmm.
What keeps you holding on to it?
Me.
The ego itself. Okay. So, an ego is homeostatic. It's never going to let go of itself. That's the one program to resist ego death, right? The ego doesn't want that. It might cause physical death. We call that the lower death drive. It might cause you to, if it was in charge, could cause suicide of the body. But it never wants to go through the upper death drive and die into the real self, right? Okay. But you are not the ego. It's only a program.
I know, but it's so powerful.
No, it's not. It has no power whatsoever except your agreement to give it that power. It's a program. A program can't have power. You're the programmer. You can delete it at will.
Then somewhere far back.
Doesn't matter. Time's an illusion. You're unborn and uncreated. Return to that state of total presence that is not in time. And never born and never changes, never loses its integrity and its total power over any kind of conditioning. You are unconditionable. No. Stop trying. That's the problem. There's no one who can actually try. That's the illusion. You see, you're clinging to the illusion that you exist. It's not true. The body exists, but it exists as an object in the mind. And the mind, in terms of thoughts, exists only as subtle objects. right, of mind, but the awareness is not identifiable with any of those objects, neither internal nor what you project as external. The self is awareness without thought that creates the knot that then ties you to those false beliefs, right? Untie the knot by realizing you never agreed to those false beliefs, and they were acquired, but you have total freedom to nullify any contract of agreement to accept the ego. It's null and void because it has no validity in terms of the truth of who you are.
You make it sound so easy.
It is. It is. Why don't you just choose to believe that it is easy instead of that it's hard? Because everything is a matter of belief, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now that you know you're already free and you don't need to believe that it's hard or that it'll take time, it's happening immediately. Now give yourself the gift of feeling it, not just intellectually considering it. Because it's a feeling state of liberation from contraction that creates all the symptoms in the body, all the aches, all the need for medical treatment. All of that is just the somatization of those ego limitations. That once you stop believing, you're free of that karma and of the suffering that it caused. You have an absolute right to return to your total freedom immediately. Would you like to be called?
Spontaneity.
Spontaneity. That's what you are, for sure. Okay, I like that. And spontaneity brings joy, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, so you're in a state of joy. That's what you are.
This character is experiencing a very special moment.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very, very special. Thank you.
Yes, but this moment is revealing what is always present. It's not just momentary.
Indeed.
Right? So now you can live in this eternal moment and never lose that joy of spontaneity. Are you willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. How will that affect other people in your life if you're totally spontaneous? Will they be able to handle it?
I have been. On occasion,
uh-huh.
But not as it should have.
Uh-huh. In other words, not totally spontaneous.
No, and it's obscure.
Within limits.
Within limitations.
Limits of the rules of the game as they want you to play it. Can you free yourself from those limitations now? Because they're not real.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, then that brings you to a joy that never ends, doesn't it?
That's the feeling, not the feeling, the intensity of the moment that I wish I never forget.
Yeah.
That was Carrie.
Yes. So you are Carrie.
Yeah, I was just going to, just like, oh my God, it was, yeah.
Maybe the two are one.
Yes.
And so in your spontaneity, you are able to be everyone and no one.
Indeed.
Because you are.
Thank you. so much for it.
Are you willing to bear the intensity of this joy without contracting again and putting it as a moment that will have been in the past?
That's my utmost desire. I don't know if it's an appropriate word, but for as long as I attain the stillness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The stillness is what you are.
Yes.
It's pure presence.
And I'm willing to bear the intensity.
Mm-hmm. Because it's bliss, isn't it?
It is.
And bliss is ego death, isn't it?
It is.
The death of all limitations forever. Welcome to liberation.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Srinamurti, thank you so much. Thank you, all of you.
We're all one.
Indeed.
And first, you're thanking yourself. Oh, Heidi has returned. Come up, Heidi. Is this boring for everyone else?
No.
This was not in the script.
There is no script.
That's why.
Why have you returned?
Because it's... a very important superposition on my way, mm-hmm, and experience as a human being. And it's so beautifully cold. And I see every detail of how this structure is meant to work for. And I see in the eyes, and especially the eyes.
What
of
do you
song,
see?
Mm-hmm. My family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, do you see that in my eyes?
Yes.
Yes.
But you are my brother.
Yes.
I see this. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank the previous guests that they were first because I saw myself so clearly, mm-hmm, in each of them.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking to me, mm-hmm, like to honor the last one especially because it's the most difficult to handle. And to realize that is the kind of bed that is holding me just as an observer of more and more and learning. And I say, what else I need? And it's coming back and seeing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that it's so true and contains so much.
Mm-hmm. So let me offer a slight tweaking of your narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because you saw all of them as yourself,
yes,
right? Not brothers or sisters. But you want to see me as a brother and not as yourself. Why the double standard?
Because I know that if I transcend this of seeing you as my brother,
mm-hmm,
I'm truly free.
That's right. Well, then why do you resist your own freedom?
Because My fear, my stupid fear, is to miss, to lose the illusion. So what else comes after this?
Well, as you just said, it's a stupid fear. It's an irrational fear. And you're very rational and you're not stupid. So why not just drop that and then you'll know. There is no next. There's only the eternal present.
And I know it. But
yeah, of course you know it. You are it. So then why obscure that with a narrative of duality? Why not stay in presence, free of thought?
Yes, I can, but not 24/7.
There is no 24/7. There's only now.
But what I do with this, that is in 24/7.
No, that's an illusion.
Yes.
There's only the moment.
It's all a programming.
Yes.
Yeah. I know it, but it's difficult.
So no, that difficult is the word of the ego to stop you from being fully present, because the illusion of the ego dies immediately. Well,
yes,
why do you want to hold on to an illusion? Your attachment to that illusion is antagonistic to your own welfare and your liberation.
Yes, it's true.
Why be your own enemy?
I came here trusting that you're the only one that can assist me with this, and you're doing it.
Nothing.
It's like, it's so intense what it feels.
Yeah, it is intense.
About.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I know that it's a decision, that's why. And I'm trying my best to...
You know, it's not even a decision, because there's no one to decide it. The ego is an illusion and it decides nothing. Mm-hmm. It's the will of the self to shine. And the self shines eternally. So it's shining now at this very moment. Why turn away from the light to the darkness and refuse to receive the glory of your real self?
Mm-hmm.
And let that shine into the world for a gift for all beings. That's why you've come.
Yes.
Okay, now you're here.
Yes.
Okay, it's done. Swaha. There's no one even to bow or salute. We are one.
We know here perfectly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. I mean, so in gratitude. So deeply in gratitude.
Show your gratitude by being in bliss.
Mm-hmm. 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 I bow before all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are free. Well, that's a joy. You see, you shouldn't have come for such a long retreat, a whole week, when you just needed one night. I guess you can move the chair. Move it over here to the side. A little bit further back, so it doesn't block anyone. Okay. Thank you. So one more introduction, which is actually a conclusion rather than a beginning, which is because our Sevadari, who has been liberated through his experience, is leaving soon, Michelle, say a few words to encourage everyone to stay the course as you have.
For the opportunity. Well, this is really, thank you.
You're welcome.
this feels like a cap on something, like a culmination that's been growing and growing, mm-hmm. and the way that everything is unfolding tonight is a testament to what I've been experiencing here over the last 6 months. And again, I've been asked, how does that feel, 6 months? And I don't know how to answer that question, mm-hmm. because in this place, time is definitely different from what I've ever experienced before in mm-hmm. terms of what time is. Mm-hmm. And to see that the magic that just transpires from interacting with all of these lovely people that are part of this sangha and who are here basically to transcend and what I've discovered is that we are here redreaming the world on a day-to-day basis, like the perfect moment after each perfect moment after each perfect moment, when we can be in silence and in presence. It's like it's happening. Mm-hmm. Redreaming the world is now, is here. It's mm-hmm. you know, we just need to choose it. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I've been really blessed from having had this opportunity to be able to share with each and every one of you through either a good morning or through deeper conversations or doing seva together and, you know, holding it to having a flow, and everything that occurs here is like in another world somehow. And really, I appreciate having had this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to settling my affairs outside and coming back, because this is real. It's not. It's like it's authentic. It has everything that a human being needs to nurture and to transcend, really. And
so there's nothing to look for out there.
I don't know if there's anything to look for anywhere, basically. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Beautiful. I'm so happy that you have received so much of the wisdom that is inherent to your nature during your retreat here. And I know that wherever your bodily being travels, you will emanate that wisdom and that love and that joy to all beings and be a great bodhisattva to uplift the world as you redream it in that very moment. So thank you, Michelle, and know that you're welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Namaste.
Thank you, everybody. Namaste.
Namaste.
So, I should probably give a teaching. Just talking to people, I don't know if I've done my job. Okay, Swati, you're going to have to write. I took some notes for a teaching that I think I basically given implicitly, if not explicitly. But I think maybe it's a good recap of a kind of a summary. And I decided to write it down so I wouldn't forget what... The thought is, why don't you title it The Seven Obstacles to Supreme Self-Realization? And let me know if you have any spelling questions.
Thank you.
We'll have a spelling bee here.
Mm-hmm. To Supreme Self-Realization?
Mm-hmm. If you can fit that on a line. Okay, so the first obstacle, which I think everyone recognizes because of the conversations we've had tonight, is attachment to your body, your bodily vehicle. and attachment to your identification with the body. So they're both, the attachment to the body is more the attachment to the sensory realm, and the attachment to identification is more attachment to the imaginary realm of your conceptualization of a world and your roles and parts that you're supposed to play in it, et cetera, et cetera. But that imaginary and that that sensory, which is what we call real one, the attachment to that creates the fear of death, and the fear of pain, and the fear of abandonment, and the fear of loneliness, and all the fears of chakra one, as we refer to it in the Kundalini map. It's those fears that then inhibit one's willingness to dare being as great as you really are. And so we mustn't allow anything to obstruct our greatness. And that sometimes involves daring and boldness and courage and willingness to think outside the box with such a creative insight that shatters the paradigms of whoever one is with, as well as one's own. So, attachment to the body, if that is overcome, I think the major obstacle is actually dealt with. But the second is attachment to the ego program. And as we mentioned before, the program includes a biofeedback loop that creates homeostasis. So the ego never wants to change, it never wants to die, it wants to repeat its patterns because it's a program. If it can't repeat the program, then the program stops, and then there is freedom. But that program, which impersonates the being who is aware of it, operating their body system, that program was acquired. It was introjected from the parents and from the family system and the social system of who you are supposed to be for the other, right? So why be attached to an ego program when all it does is repeat past traumas, past disappointments, past feelings of limitations? It can't do anything else. It has no free will. But if you delete the program and stop buying into it being who you are, your freedom is immediate. Okay, does this make sense to everyone? Okay, so the third is the refusal to acknowledge. Yeah?
Refusal to acknowledge. Writing on
you
the
have
board.
To get her on camera because she's really good at what she's doing. Refusal to acknowledge that suffering is a mental construct. Okay? So, does everyone recognize that suffering is an option? It's a choice. Pain may not be in the physical body, but suffering you don't have to have. That's a construct. Poor me, or why me, or right? All of those narratives we create around a karmic symptom or an event, without realizing we are responsible for the creation of that event and we have the power to delete it. Okay, four, you have to come up again, Swati. The refusal to recognize that your ego identity is fictional. Okay? All ego identities are fictional, not just the one you are buying into as if it's real. All ego identities are fictional, right? Because this is a movie, and the character on the screen is not the actor. the character on the screen doesn't get hurt, right? Even if it looks like someone's being tortured or something, there's no one there. The movie was made as a fiction, and that fiction on the screen has no reality but what you might project into it. So the it's not, so the ego identity is fictional, and in this same one, it's a refusal to recognize that no one is thus in bondage or striving for liberation, okay? Because only an ego can want to be free, because you're already free, and therefore only a fictional character can desire the freedom that you already are. All the ego can do is try to find your real self, but it never wants to find it, because if it finds it, it disappears immediately, right? But once you recognize there's no one suffering, no one in bondage, and no one striving for liberation or attaining it, because it's the condition of reality that's unconditionable. Always, already, immediately, now. No effort required. Okay? If you get this, then the journey is complete. It's finished. There's no work left to be done. All you have to do is really grok. This is the truth. Five, the unwillingness to grok that the world itself is an illusory projection, a holographic simulation, and that the world, qua world, is without essence. Because the world is a dream. The essence is in the dreamer, not in the dream. So, yes, it's an illusion, you could say, in superposition with the real, but the illusion, because it's projected by the real intelligence, is real, always, already, but real as energy, as light, as brilliance, as the immediate presence of the intelligence that is pervading and dreaming the dream. That's what's real. Nothing that is linguistically determinable within the dream field. Because that's all the labeling and the illusory beliefs of an illusory character. Once you're free of that illusion, then the labeling tendency of the ego to want to project identifications on others drops away. Because others are only the same absolute freedom that you are. There is no possibility of bondage for consciousness. Okay? Six, the sixth obstacle is the failure to perceive that you are alone in the ego's dream. There is no other except your own projections. All you can ever see is your own mind. There's nothing outside of it. Perceive. Yeah, that's enough.
The failure to perceive that?
To perceive that one is alone in the ego dream. You're also alone in the supreme dream, but that aloneness is the aloneness of God. The absolute non-duality of God, of the one self, the absolute intelligence, that is dreaming the multiplicity, but is never lonely and is never in a situation of comparing itself to any other. And so even the concept of being alone drops away in the ultimate aloneness that is all oneness. Okay, so there's that freedom from the solipsism. You see, the ego is always disappointed because you think you're in rapport with someone else, and then you realize, no, they didn't really understand me. They didn't quite get what I was meaning. Or there's just some gap because of the other's projection or the other's tendency to see things in a certain way, and a homeostatic inability to open up to the real that would refute the ego's belief system. And once you're free of your own belief system, you will also be free of the limitations of believing that others are out of rapport, because there are no others to be either in or out of rapport. It's that overcoming of the illusion of the ego consciousness that creates all the sense of failure, of not enoughness, of why can't we communicate, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with them, why are they treating me this way, why am I finding myself in these situations over and over again. All of those are parts of a narrative that come because there isn't a recognition that enables you to take responsibility for everything that occurs in the dream field. And wanting to blame another, or blame a situation, or blame the past, or blame some other illusory entity or factor. And the seventh obstacle, clinging. Clinging to concepts, logics, and reifications. Okay? The logic we usually cling to is binary. This is either true or it isn't true. But the real transcends that. And no concept can grasp the real. None. It's impossible. Because the real is infinite. And just as the former Carey has said, you have to play many parts, but those parts are all very limited. You see? But when you understand that those parts are completely unreal and their concepts are unreal, you stop reifying those parts and yourself as someone playing those parts, and stop reifying the other who you think needs you to play those parts, and it all falls away. There's just total freedom to shine without limitation. So any form of logic is a rule-following behavior that limits the freedom of your consciousness to recognize that the impossible is the real. There is nothing impossible to the dreamer of the dream. It's that freedom that has to be accepted. So there are no objects. Reification means you're objectifying. But objects are false. They are illusions. The world is not given to your sensory apparatus. That's an imaginary and conceptual attempt to turn vibrational information that has no qualities in its own right into the illusion of a cinematic holographic movie. But the movie doesn't even exist at all in the real. It's a projection. Now, the movie is a projection, if you're in the ego, of the ego's own internal individual identifications forced upon it. But above that, there's a world of the soul that can see the divine nature of all and recognize that you are a child of God and that you have a divine nature and you can be Christed and return to that original self. But even that, it's a model, a paradigm, a set of rules that govern the illusion of a relationship to God and to the ego, when in fact you are the ultimate dreamer who is completely free of those other two fractal levels of sub-dreaming pseudo-entities. And in that ultimate state, the dream of cosmic nature itself returns to the purity of luminous intelligence. And there is complete freedom even from the laws of nature, which are not laws at all, as has now been pretty much proven by science itself, scientists, Rupert Sheldrake among them, but many others who have gained that clarity in scientific terms. So it's not simply metaphysics that we're talking about now. Physics and metaphysics are not two, they're one. But you don't have to theorize or conceptualize any of that, and that can get in the way, because the identity of someone who thinks they know and they've figured it out, or that they have recognized the truth, also has to fall away. Because there is no one who can recognize the truth except the truth itself. So here's the problem that ultimately comes out of the clinging to logic. The real self, you cannot say that the real self exists, because to exist means to be manifest. But the real self is always the unmanifest perceiver of what is manifest, and never becomes a manifest object. Right? You with me? The self, therefore, cannot be said to exist. But it can't be said that the self does not exist, because it pervades everything that does exist, and it brings existence into manifest form by dreaming it. So you can't say the self does not exist either. But you can then also not really validly say, well, the self both exists and doesn't exist. Because as we just saw, both of those are actually impossible. You can't either exist or not exist, so you can't do both. But then you can't either say that the self neither exists nor doesn't exist, because that's incomprehensible logically. So all that you can say is that the real is beyond the binary logic of existence and non-existence. That logic itself is the obscuration of both truth and beauty, obscuration of the real. Because what is truly beautiful is unmanifest. And from the level of the unmanifest, all that is manifest is not real, but it is the intelligence. It is the manifestation of an intelligence that is real. And so it's only when you blast away all possible logics that attempt to grasp the real through thought, that the real is fully realized. thought is the enemy of knowledge. And yet, without thinking clearly and recognizing the limits of thought, you can't go beyond it. You'll fall into imaginary thinking, which is worse than the really symbolic philosophic capacity to grasp a metaphysical truth or scientific truth, or that the two are one. So it has to be achieved, the clarity of the intelligence, so there is no self-deception, but then it must be realized that even that clarity is the final deception that obscures the real, that is transcendent of any possibility of being conceived. And that's what we are. I hope that this gathering has been helpful, useful, and has enabled you to let go of all illusory limitations on your true nature, and that you have given yourself the gift of freedom from any obscuration that is self-created by the mental chatter of the illusory identity, and that you sustain your freedom until the tendency to fall back into the prison of illusory thinking and emoting is completely dissolved in the bliss of the absolute self that you are. Namaste. Thank you all.